Here we go. I'm going to call to order the City of Berkeley Lake Planning and Zoning Commission, February 13th, 2024. It is 7:17. We're at 4040 South Berkeley Lake Road in Berkeley Lake, 30096. Approval or changes to the agenda? Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the agenda? Any changes?
Looks good to me. I move we approve that.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was unanimous. Approval of the minutes. I don't know if you guys, they were pretty quite extensive November 14th. So, thanks for that. That was a lot of work. Was that all stuff that you wrote while we were sitting here, or did you have to go back and listen through it again?
They took a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just getting the conditions. I had to distill the minutes then into an actual conditions list that wasn't necessarily clear in the voice record. But yeah, it took a lot of time to get that. And the records need to be pretty,
yeah.
I feel like pretty complete on this particular.
Yeah. Excellent. I went through these quite in detail in preparation of my workshop attendance. So I think they look good.
All right. I
can move that they be approved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. There being no old business, we'll move on to new business. This is Planning and Zoning Variance 24-01 for 498 Lakeshore Drive. Variance to Section 78-141, expansion of non-conforming structure, and Section 78-89, location of accessory structure in side yard 2 inches from side property line. So the way we normally start these, if you'd like to come up and introduce yourself for the record and your address, give us your name and address. And really what we want to hear is anything that is not already what we've been reading. Okay, so if there's anything you want to add or take away or change or whatever, you don't need to repeat everything that we've got in here, unless you guys haven't had a chance to review it and you want to hear it.
I looked over. George?
I looked over. I had just one question later.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to add or take away or anything? Go ahead.
But I should start with who I am, right?
Yep. Introduce yourself.
I'm Janine Brinton from 498 Lakeshore. I just wanted to come up and say that we're surprised that we have to be here tonight, but we understand now why. In May, when I got the variance with you all, I don't think Pekka was there that night, but we thought we were good to go. We got the 5 feet that you all graciously approved. We're building not a larger garage, moving the garage, adding a laundry room and an eat-in kitchen. Everything was good to go. So when we began to then contact the architect, because as I explained to Lee, had we done that in advance, which we've done once before, it was costing a lot of money to keep drawing plans and then possibly have them turned down. So we decided to go this route with just what we brought you in May, which was the plan view. So when we contacted her and said, okay, we got to go ahead, 5 feet, let's start drawing. Marty and I were discussing one night a few weeks later, why don't we put a storage room above the garage? That would make heck a lot of sense to put tools, et cetera. And I remember Robin asking me, what are you going to do above? So I said to, and I believe at the time I thought we were just going to put a roof back on, you know. But I remember Marty, who is, as you know, extremely detailed, very diligent engineer. We made sure with that architect on 3 or 4 different phone calls, these are the height restrictions, this, no setback, violations. We cannot have any overhang, but no cantilever, no fancy, when you can't add chimneys and whatever. We were on her. So when we finally got together with Builder, got ready to go, and Lee called us in early December, you should probably remember I almost passed out in her office when we got the news that we'd have to come back. So our dilemma is that we're adding a conforming structure, conforming room, to a non-conforming house. We were not aware that that needs approval. I've already taken up with 2 council members. I think this is a lousy ordinance, and it's not your fault. You're doing your job. But I asked council to reconsider, have a way that she could sign off on that. Actually, I think, Lee, you gave me 3 points of bad news that night. You have to go back to P&Z. no, I can't do an administrative variance because there's another ordinance that says once you've come and gotten a variance, within 12 months, you have to come back in person. So she couldn't even do that. And then the third bad news was, guess what? You have to wait till February because the state law is now 6 weeks advance notice with the sign in the yard. So here we are. We had a 9-week delay, cost about $7,000 in additional rent. And so we're just hoping that you understand that this is a conforming structure. The other item, real quick, and you have the pictures, is this log box. It was all, as Dan says, I'm not going to repeat it all, it was all very well described here by Marty on the application, I think, unless you have questions. But I will say that it was my influencing him. No more blue tarps. I've lived with tarps for too long. Before we moved out, we had tarps. There were tarps over, and I said, it's not fair to the neighbors to see a log pile with a tarp over it. We got to do something tasteful. So he built this very narrow box, very parallel with the neighbor's fence so that he can't even see it, and you can't see it from the lake. And I think it was nicely, tastefully done to conserve all our firewood, which we have a lot of because of trees falling. So that's all I wanted to point out. If you have any detailed questions about that structure, I know Marty could probably answer them.
So I specifically asked you when you were here the last time if you knew how tall that area above the garage was going to be, and you said you did not know. Do we have the plans? What were we looking at? Do we still have access to what we were looking at?
We didn't have any plans except a what, like, Janine described, we had a site plan.
Yeah.
There was no elevation. Yes. There were no renderings that indicated the vertical components of the project. Well, and in fact, they didn't know that at the time because they hadn't talked to the architect. We were
just hoping to get that additional width to the garage, and then we'd hire her again for new plans because we'd already spent thousands with her and things weren't getting approved. So, yeah, we did not have an elevated view or had even made that decision yet.
We had nothing. We had nothing visual.
Right. We had a site plan. And the description of the project. There was a narrative that described the project.
Yeah, 5 feet, 100 feet.
A 5-foot bump out to the garage.
Yeah.
Did you have a question?
Just confirmation that it's a self-evident question, but I'll just ask it to make sure. So we approved a modest, and this is more geared towards Lee, we approved a modest increase of like a percent or so of impermeable surface. This doesn't change it one iota.
Correct. So the numbers, the dimensional changes aren't impacted by this request.
Yeah.
The whole thing that swings in the balance is what is considered a conforming change to a non-conforming structure is required to be varied. The code doesn't allow that to happen without a variance. And as Janine mentioned, there is a provision that requires a 12-month gap. So you can't come for an administrative variance if you've been heard within the prior 12 months for a variance. And so there was no ability, I don't have that authority. Dan has the authority, as y'all know, to approve administrative variances. And there is still process, but it's much quicker, and it's a little bit cheaper in terms of the application fee.
Oh, that's right. We had another application fee plus the $7,000 in additional rent for dragging this out. But I think it's a matter of, I proposed to council, and I'm going to put it in writing, that they look at it for the next person, that this shouldn't be so awkward. If you're doing something conforming to the rules, and boy, did Marty make sure this time that it wasn't 1 inch off of height. And
I think there's excellent reasons for the rules the way that they are. I mean, a conforming change to something that's already non-conforming takes something that's already impacting visually somehow, and now you're making the structure even bigger. So,
okay.
Then
maybe it's the other one in addition.
This is an aside to what we're talking about.
Right.
So where do we measure, just for clarification, where do we measure the front elevation, where do we measure the back elevation, and how do these pieces that are taller than the rest of the house, how does that get measured?
So I guess the way that the code reads is that you've got two different height standards, one at the front and one at the back. I'm not sure that it's all that clear about exactly where the measures are taken from, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's from the grade at the back part of the house, 45 feet up.
So no part of the house can exceed that.
45 feet at that rear line, and at the front line, 35 feet. So there's this forgiveness for these sloped lots, which we have all around the lake.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you measure at the front line and you go up 35 feet, and you measure at the back line and you go up 45 feet, and then here in the middle something sticks up 60 feet.
No.
Nope.
No.
Right.
Cannot.
It's got to be within that.
Because it can't. Because if it sticks up 60 feet, then that means it's 60 feet higher than the grade at the front. You know what I mean? So you're going to take whatever that grade is, and you're not going to go taller than 35 feet.
Anywhere in the house. That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
So that requires some engineering.
From that front, yeah. I mean, on the back of the house, obviously, you can be 45 feet, and you're not sticking up, you know, past 35 feet if you're looking at it from the front of the house.
Right.
Was that clarifying?
Yeah, because of the slope. Of the
slope.
Yeah, the topography.
Okay. So what's in this? Is this like a stairwell or something, this piece right here in the middle that sticks up higher than everything else? What is that? What's in that?
That's existing, how the house looks, I believe. Marty, correct me if I'm wrong. Come see this.
Hi, I'm Marty Britton, for the record.
So this piece right here,
mm-hmm.
Is that... That's there.
It's not there now, but we're breaking the view. We're breaking this roof line to this roof line because they don't join worth a darn.
Okay.
So that's there to break the roof line. And that piece
is
at 33 feet 6 inches.
Okay, so the peak right there, I guess, is the tallest part.
It is.
If this is correct.
But shouldn't it used to be the tallest part? Right. Where'd it go? There it is. Over there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are up another, I think, 8 inches above that chimney.
Okay, but that's 33 feet above the grade here.
In the front.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Part of this was the architect trying to do something that looks pleasing to the eye and not just one big box, you know, it's a little bit of roof line change.
So does the chimney ever go over the top of the roof line?
So the chimney is already there. This new structure will not have a chimney, unless I misunderstood you. Yeah. I think Dan was referring. Yeah.
So the chimney is a foot shorter than whatever you want to call that thing.
Proposed new piece.
But the way the law is written for chimneys is you got to be 12 feet away from a higher structure. So we have the draft on the chimney and no downdraft.
Okay.
Note that may or may not be clear, that's really important for views. So if you go to page...
This one doesn't have the plans.
We worked hard on this. So we have a 40-foot setback line from the lake. And the main problem with this house when it was built is it was built too close to the lake. And what I wanted to make sure of is when we build this secondary structure for this higher section on the house in the front, that 40-foot setback is not violated in any way, shape, or form by the addition of the second story. So I'm trying to find where the setback line is shown here, and you'll see that all the additional height is
in front of
that. Within the confines of the boundaries of all the setbacks. If that, and Janine called it a conforming structure on a non-conforming house. I'm trying to find the setback line. But anyway, I can assure you it is. There's nothing in the 40-foot setback. Oh, there it is.
Right there, that dotted line.
Yeah.
Not changing the rear of the house at all.
At all, yeah. Not touching it.
So
if you look at the plan set, the back of the cover sheet, the left picture, proposed site.
I'll show it to you.
Oh, yeah.
See that dotted line that goes straight through the house?
Yeah, there you go.
We are set that, yeah.
I'm going to explain this to her. And so right here, this rear setback line.
So you're saying all changes are being made in front of that rear setback line.
Right. So everything that violates the, that we're grandfathered in on is staying the same.
Okay. I guess we have the ability to consider these variances separate court together, right?
I think you should vote on them separately.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You're talking about the woodshed on this?
Yeah. Okay. Unless somebody, I mean, the only reason you would want to consider them together is just because it adds something to the.
I think separately it makes more sense to me. I think they don't.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
So I make a motion to grant the variance to expand the making a conforming change to a non-conforming structure in accordance with the plans presented this evening.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It's unanimous. All right, the second variance, the accessory structure in the side yard 2 inches from the side property line, section 78-89. You're in a discussion on that?
A kind of comment, in one sense, it is a glorified firewood holder. If it was anything else, I might not have been so excited by it being there, but that's my only comment right now at this point.
I learned a new word, wood box.
This is a hard one for me. I mean, this, if we approve this, I feel like we need to go apologize to Kathy and tell her she can do what she wanted to do to the boathouse. And to Kokoska and tell him he can go ahead and leave that huge shed back there by his back fence, because I don't see any difference. I mean, I know we're all about not setting precedents, but we struggle over side setbacks reducing them to 10 feet. It's extremely visible from the top of the driveway. It's right against the side. I mean, if the people ever took down their fence there...
That's the point. That's the point. Yeah, that's the point. That, you know, right now it's kind of blends in with the fence, but that's...
I understand about the Leland cypress blocks from the lake. I get that, but, you know, our whole discussion on this property over here was that trees aren't forever. I know you didn't agree with our call on that one anyway. But.
Well, it's even in this case, if they stacked up a cord of wood or two, it wouldn't be an issue.
Correct.
I mean, they could stack the wood anywhere on their property, and we wouldn't even be talking about it.
That's
the question
correct.
Is, would a structure, that matter what it is, be acceptable under our current ordinances? And if it isn't, we either grant a variance or we turn it down. I guess that's the simple part. That's why we have gas fireplaces now. Did away with two wood burners.
So what the garage, the new garage is, remind me that the overhang is the only part, the new structure you're building in the front. The overhang encroaches on the side setback, right?
1 foot.
Right.
There's no overhang, but when we got the variance the last time, I believe there was a little bit that you all approved, right?
To go. It was a one-foot overhang encroachment because
encroachment
of the overhang.
On the setback.
Because of the overhang. That's what I'm trying to remember. That
the triangular thing.
Yeah, a little corner. Because of the way a lot goes like that. Right. But what we're building above is just a room right above that. It's not jutting out or cantilevered or anything like that.
But its roof doesn't have an overhang?
Sorry?
The roof of the addition, it doesn't have an overhang?
It has an overhang, but it doesn't come over the roof below. Is that correct? I mean, we're talking about this here?
It conforms with the May.
What you all approved.
Right.
It's just now,
I'm
not
trying,
here.
I'm trying to remember what the May variance.
It was a one. Yeah, it's a 1 foot setback that was granted in May.
Technically, it's 1 foot, but it's only 1 foot.
It's at a corner.
In the corner.
At the front corner.
At the front corner.
My question is, if you going up, that same corner is exactly where the corner would have been below if you had built that.
Correct.
With a regular roof, yeah.
That's what I was confirming earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the question we always ask when things like this come up. And the reason that this firebox couldn't be placed against the garage and only encroach another 2 feet or whatever the depth of that is what?
Because of the construction that's yet to occur, and Marty can.
So the firewood has to go somewhere because it's in the way of the construction. So I said, I can put this against the house, but then I can't build it. So the firewood sits out here and rots for 4 months, which it's possible. Cover it with some, but then I have to move it twice. I had to move it over here, the whole pile over here, then I had to move the whole pile over here. And I can move this box up against the house, sure. It's possible, but then the sight view down the side of the house is obstructed.
And the angles change.
But if you're looking straight down the house side, we got the Leland cypress here, and then the box would be here.
That's what I'm saying. If you did move it on the house side, it would change the angle of the structure. It would flip it 180 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm totally that's right where the doors are. Good point.
Now I got to put the doors on the other side.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare. Oh, my gosh. What he was also trying to do is, because of things we've learned from being at these meetings, the view of the lake, where it currently exists, where there aren't mansions and big, right, is important.
I think
people
street.
Enjoy it from the street. Even when I walk, I like to see. And that between us and 504 Lakeshore, you can see a good portion of the lake, and it's nice. So he's trying to not obstruct that view. So, well, I can put it way over there, and then those trees are blocking it, and you can still see down and enjoy the lake. Over here, he's right. It would add width there, plus then you have the trees from them and their fence, and then it makes. So he was just trying to respect the view for passersby.
With the trees being there now, it doesn't. But if there were no trees, it wouldn't matter. It would be equal obstruction.
And we could plant more trees there as well. Those trees were actually planted by Eric Musser before he sold to Joey.
I mean, you could plant trees so that nobody could see the lake. If you wanted to. I mean, there's
nothing. Well, yeah. No, I was saying we could plant another small, I think they're really arborvitae, but I don't know. But we could plant one on the top end of that wood box so that there's one on either end, if that would matter. He was thinking view the whole time. And the fact that for years we've had logs out there with tarps over, and I'm like, this looks terrible to have all these tarps. Let's do something that I never even realized there might be a variance involved, so I'm probably partially to blame here. But to me, it was what would look clean and neat and not be a blue tarp.
I mean, I personally think that the issue is not whether it's beautiful or obstructing view or whatever. It's a principal issue of that it is something that's not according to the guidelines, and it was put there before, which is like we were referring to another case where people just go and build something and then go and ask. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission type of approach.
Well, Well, and if it's, it wasn't clear already, this is strictly to store firewood. It's not a shed. There's nothing else in it. It's very narrow. The question is, how do you keep firewood dry if you buy one of those racks from wherever they sell those racks, right? It's no cover over it.
I mean, would you, if the shed wasn't there or this wood box wasn't there now, and then, you know, you were expecting an order of wood to come in 3 months from now, what would you do then? Because it sounds to me that one of the main reasons why it is there is because you didn't want to impede the construction and have to move the wood twice.
So if we had an order of wood come in later, I would have put four poles up, stacked all the wood between the four poles, probably in that exact same spot, and put a big blue tarp over it. It's the only choice I got. Maybe silver, but...
Yeah, not bright blue again. With the way our house is situated, there's really no other place to put it. There's definitely no spot on the other side.
I don't know. He's asking, you know, if you...
Would you be allowed to
what's the definition of a structure?
The blue tarp does not meet the definition of a structure, although prior to my arrival, I understand that we had an issue with another forgiveness, not permission, applicant who had gotten a variance because of a blue tarp that was over a classic car for some period of time. I don't know the details of that case because it was pre-me, but for whatever reason, you all considered a variance to that. And granted it, but it had a sunset on it. The blue tarp needed to go away. And then that applicant ended up building a garage, for lack of a better word, in violation of almost every setback and dimensional requirement, which you deny. We ended up having to take that person to court. Yeah. And finally he complied after fines. And, you know, it was a lengthy enforcement procedure. Proceeding.
Tear down the garage?
He had to tear down the garage, he did, but he also got fined in the process. So I don't know why, I don't consider a tarp a structure, but I think I'm guessing that there were enough complaints from neighbors that the staff at the time thought that basically it was functioning, it had become a permanent fixture, even though it's not a structure and it was an eyesore. I don't think having a tarp up meets the definition of a structure.
A blue tarp ever.
The only reason why I remember this one is because of the sunset part of it. There was an expectation that people don't live forever.
George, speak up.
Well, you know, you actually, I walked in here ready to approve this, but you did bring up a very valid point in my look at this now. We have denied pretty much the exact same structure.
Three times that I know of. Less egregious from a dimensional standpoint than this. I'm not saying less egregious in view. I mean, I understand everything you're saying. I understand the common sense. I understand it all. I understand you're under construction, which hopefully is not going to last for the rest of your life. For me to allow something like this, which we have never allowed. I've been out here for 12, 13 years, whatever now. We've never allowed something like this, this close to a sideline, ever. And so to allow it because you're going to have construction for the next 12 months, I struggle with that.
Can I ask, is the issue the sideline or the size of it? Like when you said...
It's the sideline. We haven't... Like I said, when we're considering side setbacks, if we even go more than like a foot and a half or 2 feet into the side setback, we're forcing things to be shrinking down. So if you even got to like 8 feet within the sideline, we're usually at zero at that point. It has to have zero height. So to build anything a foot or two or three or six over right on the sideline, I just, to my recollection, that we've never approved anything like that.
It's not the size of the structure. That's not the issue.
Right.
It's the location.
Right.
In other words, we put that same structure in our front yard, then I think that would be pretty ugly, but it wouldn't violate any setback. So
You can't do accessory structures in the front yard anyway, right?
Yeah. No, you can't do them in the side yard either. I mean, that's the other issue. So this is not only a side setback variance to the dimension,
location.
But also the location.
It has to be in the rear. It has to be,
it has to be in the rear side. Unless it's designed with... So if you remember doing the rider's variance and the architectural compatibility between the structure that he built and the primary structure of the lot, that's a big consideration if you're going to allow something to be in the side yard versus in... I mean, it's supposed to be in the rear yard. Yep.
But then if I put it in the rear yard, I'm violating the 40-foot setback.
Right.
So I have no place I can put it.
How deep is it?
Hmm?
How deep is the structure?
Outside 32, inside 26.
Inches.
Inches. Mm-hmm. 5 feet. Inches.
And the garage, I'm not looking at it right now, but the garage slants away from the property line as you move towards the backyard. It's the garage isn't, it's not, it doesn't run parallel with the side setback, right? With the sideline.
No, I see what you mean. So as we go toward the lake, the setback gets wider and wider and wider. Right. The 12 foot, now 11 foot 6, I think it is.
Yes, 11.
Is the front corner of the garage.
Right.
And from there it gets wider.
Big building on a small lot. That's the problem.
I'm trying to think of alternatives right now.
I was also, and I was wondering, I know you say you moved it so you could construct the new addition, but when that's over, could you move it to the side of the house?
Yes. It takes some work, but the answer is always yes.
But that still violates the side structure, so never mind.
Well, it does, but it I think to me that's a lesser if we look at what we've done in the past.
Yeah, it gets us.
Because it gets it further away from, I mean, we would be talking, there would still be a 10-foot setback about.
Well, that would be easier than rebuilding the structure because you'd have to rebuild it if you flipped it 180 degrees.
Be more visible from the lake into the street, for sure, but...
Well, so the way this works is we can approve variances. We can approve a variance for this to be against the garage and we can approve where it exactly would have to go against the garage. We have the ability to approve that. that would have to be something you guys would agree with. So that's kind of where we are right now, discussing where you could move that and in such a place that we would approve it. Because I get the feeling, since no one wanted to make a motion, that we're not going to approve it.
So do I suggest something, or how does this work?
Yeah.
We can move it against the wall of the garage after the construction's done. I don't have any issue with that. It's just more work, but hey, better than the alternative. The blue tarp's not exactly thrilling.
I don't know what the dimensional, what's challenging is I don't know what we're talking about as far as the dimension goes.
Right.
And what we typically would do is you would approve a variance that's a certain number of feet into a variance of blah feet into the side setback. I don't know what that is.
1 foot, 8 inches.
Sitting here right now. I think that how wide, I mean, again, the
32 inches wide right now, but I have a...
Dead at the roof?
Yeah.
No, that's the structure. The roof hangs over, the current roof, if I reuse the same roof, it hangs over 6 inches on that back side. And that edge of that roof is the 2 inches from the property line.
But we can say it has to be X number of feet behind the front line.
Of the building?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can dictate where within the side yard you're comfortable for it to be.
But let me ask you this, because we've never done this before. Do we have a mechanism to approve a variant? I mean, we've never done this where we say, okay, you can leave it there for 12 months, and then you have to move it to such and such. I don't ever remember us doing anything.
Well, it's kind of like that tarp. I mean, you
would
sunset.
It's kind of like that other, the classic car sunset. We didn't. Not only that, we actually said that you could come back again at the end of that sunset for another period of time. Again, dependent on longevity of an individual.
Gotcha. How long is the box?
16 feet.
16
feet. It was convenient. 16-foot pieces of wood.
I think it was 6 feet high, right? Tall? Was it 6 feet tall?
Yes, 72 inches, I think. But it's actually shorter than that because it's up off the ground a foot.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I know somewhere we have a picture here of what that back side of your garage is going to look like.
Well, I will say, in the packet, I pared down all the plans. Okay. To just try to give you a lot of stuff.
This is I'm not sure this is that one. Best view in the back right here.
This is the current house, current structure.
Yeah,
but it gives you the grade.
Okay. Is that a door into the garage?
Yeah. So it would right now it sits right here, but you know
what sits?
Well, the shed.
The shed is
from the front to the back. Oh. If you look at the, there's a site view that shows the front edge of it.
Oh, across front.
You know, if you're standing behind it, just
in that spot.
Yeah, I got that.
Oh, there it is. See, there's the location. It really goes from that jut out, straight over, and then 16 feet up.
But here's a door here, right, at this point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the inserts, the door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
You don't want to block the door.
You can't
block the door. Yeah.
No, I just
is that 16 feet between that window and that door?
Well, there's not. I'll cut the shed so it fits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this. Yeah, it's adjustable in size.
It is what it is.
I wanted to just ask a quick question about what you said earlier.
I think you made the comment that you know. Yeah, what if the neighbor takes the fence down one day? So just curious, if possible, could it be approved with the, I don't know how this all works, but if the fence were ever to be removed, that has to be moved. In other words, it could stay there but while there's a fence, but if the fence goes away, you have to move it. Is that a possible plan B?
Can I just interject an administrative concern that I have, and that's just whether or not we would have our eye on that ball from an enforcement standpoint, whether anybody on staff would remember that condition. It's really just that would, for all intents and purposes, that would just not ever come to fruition. I mean, if I'm being honest with you. Well, unless I'm still here and I remember being here tonight.
And it doesn't really help the fundamental issue.
Right.
Okay.
And the decisions we make, like when we talk about, well, trees aren't always going to be there. You know, we're making decisions based on what things could look like 30 years from now when we're all dead. So,
Understood.
Yeah, I think what we do is we approve some, put some dimensions on that it could be put there, and that's what we give. The more I think about it, I don't think we can, with good conscience, approve the where it is now, given what we've done in the past. What we're even considering this is because the way it looks against the fence and with the trees and all that, but if you look at it from dimensional perspectives and compare it to what the ordinances are, and it just isn't approvable.
What I like is your idea of where to put it between the window and the door, because the further back it is, the less visible it is, especially because the garage slants slightly away from the sideline. So it makes it easier to, you know, we're talking about 3 feet into the setback, because that garage wall is not in the setback at any point, right? It's just the overhang that was. So, so we know we're going no more than 3 feet into the setback, and it's only at 6 feet. So that matches up with what we've always done in the past. When I say if you're going to go into the side setback, it's got to be kind of below this diagonal, and I think that would. Especially if it's pushed back behind the window. I think that would satisfy me.
Yeah, and it's only the full 3 feet up here, and it's less as you come down towards the lake.
Right. It's probably even less than 3 feet by the window, and then it's even less as you get to the back by the door. So, okay.
So we and your idea.
Sorry?
Your idea. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think how we'd put this together as a...
I would suggest that you put a... if it's 9 feet, that's what you're agreeing to, at a setback of 9 feet from the side property line, minimum, and located, and I don't know if you know dimensionally where that... the line is from the lake to the street. I don't know where the door and the window, I don't know how you factor that into the motion, but ideally it would be a certain number of feet from the front property line and a certain number of feet from the side property line.
Yeah, they have to maintain a minimum of a 9 foot setback. And then I guess if we have this dimension for the kind of related to the house, is that in the motion?
Well, first of all,
it doesn't have to be just on the plot line.
These plans, are these the plans that will get submitted for a permit?
So the reason these plans are before you is because these plans were submitted for a building permit.
Okay. So we can actually reference these plans then.
With the location.
That window and that door will be there in the final product. They're there now, and they'll be there.
They're not there. The door's there, but it was there. It's not there now.
Yeah.
If we phrase that it needs to be between the door and the window.
Correct.
As per the plan.
No more than minimum 9 foot setback, that would.
As built.
Then we know where it is. Yeah.
As built.
What's as built?
You said it's not there now, but it will be as built according to the plans.
Yeah, according to the plans.
Yeah.
I think what Lee's suggesting is we go with the dimension.
Which should be in the plan.
And do we know how far that edge, that right edge of the window is from the front of the garage? That may not be in the plan. She's saying it's better.
Brand, she left the door off the plan, but the door's going back.
That's my woodshed that I put in place in October.
It's basically from the window toward the lake. That window's your limit. I get it.
Yeah, but you don't know how far, you don't know the dimension on that.
Well, I know the garage width is 23 feet.
And the funny thing is that because of this...
23 feet, 6 inches, I think it is. The length of this picture you're seeing, from that line to there, is 23 foot 6. So if you take off 3 feet for a door, take off 5 feet for that window, plus that section on the front of the house there, that's we'll call it 6, be conservative. 6 and 3 is 9, 9 off of 23 is 14.
That's the shed there, right?
It's close.
I won't see it now with the snow.
There's just not, none of this has a dimension from, I mean, I don't know where that, when I look at a site plan, the window and the door aren't on a site plan. So when I start looking at locations, if I'm looking at an elevation, that is meaningless to me in relationship to a site plan.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just can't, I can't do anything with that. I can do something with a site plan, but I really can't do anything with
it. Can I submit a drawing with this thing on it? Well, and you guys administratively approve it.
Can we just give you a foot? Can we just give you a dimension from the front corner of the garage?
Sure, absolutely.
And see if it'll work for you?
Yes.
That might be the cleanest. Yeah.
Is 4 feet back, does that give you enough room to put the window in?
That works for me.
Okay.
So at least 4 feet, does that work for you guys?
2-0, 2-2, 2-4, 2-6.
I'm ready for anything.
And, so we're gonna, and you're pretty comfortable that it's no bigger than 36 inches, so that if we say 9, it's gonna fit in there?
No, it's 36.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, but we would have to approve both the setback and the location.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying.
I think it's sort of embedded in that. I hear what you're saying. Yes, there are two parts. Really, there are two different standards that are being asked to be varied here. And I'm just writing this to say, to allow the woodshed to be located no closer than 9 feet of the side property line and at least...
against the home.
And I don't know how, up against, how, I mean...
Actually, sure. I just like it. Let's just keep it as simple as that, 9 feet. And...
You know,
and at least
and no closer than 4 feet from the front corner of the, and I think that's the northeast corner of the house. Is that right?
So he can start when he rebuilds or restructures. It begins 4 feet from that corner and heading towards the lake.
Right.
Yes.
And not blocking the door.
And then you can go more than 4 feet.
Yeah, no closer
than 4 feet to that northeast corner of the structure.
So moved.
All right. I put that on Rand. Sorry.
Go ahead.
That's just what I did.
No, that's good.
Rand's idea. He started this.
I also have to insert in here that for 12 months, it can stay where it is. Is that what we're saying? And then... and that will sunset after 12 months.
What do we call that? I mean, a temporary variance or?
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I think you just approve it with an end time on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
When do you plan to start?
I'd like to start tomorrow, but our builders.
As soon as the builder can get his approval.
I didn't want to jinx anything, but I told him today it might be soon.
How long will it take? The construction.
The ultimate builder question.
I was going to say it's going to be very difficult.
They say 4 months.
I'm
going to tell you it's 5.
Yeah, I would almost just give them 12.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't mess with that.
Yeah, 8 for construction, another 4 or so.
Give me a time for take a beer in there somewhere.
So yeah, we're at you.
So I'm just going to say for 12 months.
Yeah, there's no reason to get short on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need her to read that back. Full vote.
She's still working on it.
Oh, but you're right. But I mean, after she's
yeah.
ready.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, while we're waiting, I'll see that. Where's my? So this is what I did in October.
Marty, yours looks a lot better.
The funny thing, you need a variance?
He built a firewood box in Finland.
I didn't want to move this long. So
right. Put
yeah. 3 feet. Yours looks a lot better.
Do you have any problems with this?
He did. He actually built it.
And it's way harder in Finland to get something.
Oh, is there? It's okay.
He built it on his cousin's property.
Yeah.
We had a storm.
The car was not nearly as organized as mine.
No.
And
I built it across the property line, too. But it's...
As I say, not as I do.
I called my cousin and said, she hasn't built on the lot yet, but... Do you mind if I do this? And
no one required you to stack it nicely.
No, there was nothing. I mean, it's there temporarily. There was a storm that took down two trees, and I chopped them up.
Sounds familiar, though.
Maybe you have something to read to us.
So, Kirkus moved to approve the accessory structure woodshed location to remain for 12 months, and after the 12-month expiration, to approve a variance to allow the woodshed to be located no closer than 9 feet to the side property line and no closer than 4 feet to the northeast corner of the garage. Does that sound right? Did I go too fast?
Oh, wow. That's my fire pit. I love that fire pit.
Are we saying
is it
the existing structure?
Yeah.
Is that
that's
in there? Is that
for.
How you phrase that?
This is actually...
I added that.
Upside
or
down.
Or do we need to say
upside down.
I mean, no taller than 6 feet?
I just turned it there. So
it does have to modify it.
Off.
Right.
But when
you're going to have
wood,
to modify
it, goes
it
into this
so
kind of bowl.
Mm-hmm. But... I think no taller than 6 feet.
If your images are correct, it's flatter at by the garage than it is where you've got it.
That's correct.
That's a good point. The 6 foot is relevant.
Or you can sell it as is for the next.
Because we wouldn't approve it at 10 feet.
No. I mean the way it was now was to the height of the fence there, and that's why it wasn't obstructing. And actually, when you look from above the street, I think you also see over it.
So provided the woodshed dimensions are 6 feet, no more than...
Greater than currently existing or something is fine.
Well, what are those?
6 feet.
I'd
six
like
feet.
To have it
it's
in
6 feet. Yeah, 6 feet.
No more than 6 feet tall by 16 feet long.
Yep.
32 feet by 16 feet by 3 feet wide.
Okay.
And then the roof's bigger than that, but that's irrelevant. We're not going to put a big old roof on it, so.
Well, state the dimensions of the roof for the record.
It's already.
I've got
in.
It. I've
it's
got 6 feet by 16 by 3. Okay. All right, ready?
Right.
I'll read it one more time. Kirkus moved to approve the accessory structure woodshed location to remain for 12 months, and after the 12-month expiration, to approve a variance to allow the woodshed to be located no closer than 9 feet to the side property line and no closer than 4 feet to the northeast corner of the garage, provided the woodshed dimensions are no more than 6 feet tall by 16 feet long by 3 feet wide.
Yes.
That works?
I'll second. Becca, go ahead.
Becca,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This, if you want to look, this is actually a little bit more how it for real.
I'm glad this is over.
So it's not as bad.
It's been a long road.
And it doesn't sit. There's no. It's an empty lot behind there.
I will. That is true, Rand.
So, are you okay with the county in the? At one point you had an issue with this septic tank.
We got through that one. We were too close to the septic. We got a variance for that.
Good.
Apparently county wants 10 feet, let's call it a box, on all four sides. And where the garage is going to be, part of it will be 5 feet.
So for the tank or for the field lines? Or
tank.
Field lines way up there.
Yeah, they're way up there. That was the tank.
And you have redundant field line space.
Don't ever touch it.
All right, let's move on. Sorry, guys. We got one.
for you to be able to go home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I do have something for discussion. Don't let me forget regarding plans in general.
Okay.
All right. Election chair.
Are you happy? Are you happy to continue?
Well, that's great. Yeah, I move that Dan be reelected. There's no term limits, are there?
He's not in violation of the bylaws.
As long as there's no campaign finance reform, I'm good to keep doing that. Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
George, you want to be vice this time?
Election of vice chair.
It could be.
George, I nominate George.
Did you want to be? Do you want to be vice chair?
No, it's Rand. Has a burning desire.
I'm the king already, so it doesn't matter.
All right. So you made a motion for
George to be.
I'll second.
You didn't like it?
That motion.
Tell me what George wanted to be. So
all in favor?
Aye.
Appointment of secretary.
I think that was a motion and a second. I don't know who.
You appoint me.
Okay.
However, the way you just did it is there's just an appointment.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Who started that? Rand.
Okay. Rand started, and I just popped right in there.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Unanimous. Citizen comments. Since you're here, citizens, you can make comments.
I was just curious. You put in the record, but can we say no? Can you say no? You're not going to be the secretary.
Well, we've discussed that before, and I think that all of these very gracious gentlemen were concerned that I was doing this role, and I said, oh, no, I insist on having this role. So I wouldn't say no. Could I? Probably. Wouldn't be good for my job, probably, but I mean, the good news is I don't want to say no, so we're all in agreement about that.
We'd go to council and ask them to appoint you.
That's right.
If you did say no, I was going to suggest we appointed Barbara since she isn't here.
There you go. Barbara. Voluntold. That's right.
Was that the new person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kind of misogynist.
No. Well, I just knew already. no citizen comments, then discussion session. I do have an item for the discussion session. Can I add it now?
Of course. Right.
What this case today proved to me is that we cannot be considering variances of that magnitude without renderings, without something like this. Because I'll be honest, that what you guys are doing in front is way more than I understood when we voted on this. That's a way, the entire build is, and I can say this now because we've already proved a variance. The entire build is way bigger than what I understood in May when we approved it. And I'm not saying we wouldn't approved it anyway, but it's just way more. And that's why I specifically asked you how tall you thought it was going to be, because that really mattered to me. I did not understand that it was going to be anywhere near the 35-foot limit. So I'm just bringing all that up because I just think that how do we do that?
Part of the issue, I think, is, and I think Marty alluded to it, when Marty came to see me, and we actually had a discussion about this, and I was a little bit uncomfortable with it. This happens a lot, this sort of chicken, egg, cart, horse business, where people are afraid to spend the money up front, not knowing whether or not they're going to be approved to do what they want to do, and then they have to go back and spend the money again. We never discussed a second story. I think had I known that was at play, absolutely I would have said, you're going to have to give me renderings. You're going to have to give me elevations if you're going to go up. We've had other people that have come in for variances that they've given us site plans. I think that's happened. I think that even the Ryder case may have just been a site plan. I don't remember having elevations at that point. So
they built more than I thought they were going to build.
So that's something that if we want to do that, I what I need to do is update our, and it's a little bit tenuous. And what we can do is we are rewriting our ordinances. I've got two proposals right now that I'm analyzing to determine which consultant to choose to help us with that process. It's going to take a couple years. But in that, I suspect that we will get a little bit more robust in all of our application requirements and going ahead and codifying some of the standards that are important in terms of what we get. And it's probably even a conference with me in advance so that I can be a little bit more, you know, in the know about the scope of the project. And we did talk about it. But I think Marty said even when he came before y'all, I'm just trying to get an envelope to work within. And I don't think any of us were thinking that there was a vertical element to the project. And so when I saw these plans, I sort of gasped and had a little bit of shock and awe and was like, oh no, we're going to have to start over. So I think I need to start by just updating our checklist and putting applicants on notice and asking for that. But if this push come to shove situation, then it'll just be at their own risk, right? But you got to describe your scope. And it's in your best interest to do that fully. And most of the time, applicants go over because they're afraid of this scenario, not getting approval for every little aspect of what their project entails, because then they're going to land, it jeopardizes the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So typically, that's what I'm dealing with in an application process. This one just didn't go that way. And I agree. It illuminated it for me, too.
But because you guys didn't submit anything, that's why you're back.
Correct.
Because, go ahead.
Citizen comment. I just wanted to say.
Yeah, citizen comments or what? Anyway, yeah, to what you're saying, correct. But I'm just thinking to help you all out for future, what you're just saying. Where we sat, because we'd been through a few meetings, we didn't want to violate anything or have to come back. So our assumption is you're building something that conforms to all the rules. A variance is to break a rule, right? Like the log box.
But I know that
we weren't breaking a rule.
So the deal with modifying a nonconforming structure, and it's plain as day in the code, is that any modification to a nonconforming structure requires a variance. And so at that point, all of the modifications should have been incorporated into the request. And that's where the miscommunication happened. Right. And you all didn't know what they were at the time on purpose because you were trying to get, you didn't want to go and spend the money with an architect up front because you were worried they were going to say no. Yeah. And then you would have to go back and redesign and spend all that money. And so I remember us having that dialogue. And I think I had some trepidation about that, even in the conversation, like, I'm a little bit worried about you doing it that way, but I didn't have anything to say you can't do it that way.
I mean, I can understand people not wanting to spend money, right. But if we're setting a requirement that you've got to have some level of detail in your plans, you've kind of locked them into having to spend the money to do that.
Yeah, but we don't have that. That's what I'm saying about the code. The code does not have that as a codified requirement.
And to speak to this, I come at this conforming and non-conforming differently than what you're saying, because when we consider non-conforming structures, we quite often put limits on the regular ordinances to accomplish the overall goal. So if we just say to somebody, okay, you're already exceeding the lot coverage, okay, but you're not going up, we're gonna let you have that corner into the side setback because in our mind you weren't going up to the degree that we're seeing now. So that is a huge change in our mind, and there were obviously mismatched understanding there on. Because maybe that was what you guys were planning to do all along. That's not what I understood. I mean, I remember that pretty clearly. And even though you're 33 feet, I would have voted no except for the fact that the lot coverage actually dropped because you had your property resurveyed. You know? And if I had known back in May that how big that structure was going to be, I would have voted no back in May. For it the way that it was. And so I'm just saying it's because it's a give and take. You know, it's not just, well, we got a variance so we can do anything that's within conformance. Does that make sense? So, I mean, you may not agree with it, but do you understand what I'm saying?
As you explain it now, I do. Yeah, and I appreciate your point. And for us, it was, what are the rules? You know,
right, and the rules are definitely there. And I think that Marty and I had multiple conversations about them. I mean, the original variance was not a short process. We
Because we, and we have the architect.
And there were changes back and forth throughout those months as well. And then I think the last thing I remember was we've had to scale way back. The money's not there. All we want to do is have this incremental change to give us a little bit more breathing room in our kitchen.
Yeah, right.
That was what was represented to me.
And then, but in our mind,
and that's just not
storage room upstairs, okay? Because the roof, it's not that much more expensive when you move it here or there, right? A little bit more. But, and I thought, as long as she doesn't break the high wall, now we stayed on there about hiding, you know. So, but I
understand. Yeah, but we understand what Dan's
saying. What Dan's saying now.
We have to make decisions that go way beyond just what makes sense. You know, it really makes, because every variance people ask for makes sense to them, makes perfect sense to them. And it, but, you know, but it's just.
You would hope so.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But to answer your question, I need to update that and push people further. I mean, I kind of pushed Marty on it at the time, but I can push harder. And then if I get challenged, you know, it's probably going to take a little bit of language in the code.
If we're telling you that, you know, we're not going to be inclined to approve without
a rendering
more documentation, then
I can tell them that.
You can convey
that. I can
that
tell
to
that
them,
to the applicant.
And then if they
decide, but I do think we've had lots of variances that were site plan based only.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, let me actually muddy up the waters just a little bit, in the sense that, and this is coming from me too, that. Some variance requests don't necessarily need a level of detail. Rebuilding the front half of somebody's house, yes, you know it, but other variances,
no doubt,
not a big deal if I don't have the plans
right.
on that. I understand what a dock might look like. You know.
So what I wish we had done is what we just did with the wood box. What I wish we had done, since we didn't, and this is something we could consider doing, if people come in and they don't have this degree of drawings, we should have approved this initially with some limitations. We should have said, okay, the front, you know, elevation can't go above 20 feet or 26 feet or whatever, and the rear can't go above, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We could have, and then it would have been up to you guys to accept that or not. Because we can put those kind of limits on variance approvals. And we could have done, we had the option to do that for people who don't bring it in, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, you have the option.
That's what we did with the shed. That's what we did with
the shed. That's what we did with the shed, and it's what we should have done initially.
With box.
Just so that we had the same expectation.
I just think that all of us were unaware, even you all, in deliberating about it before. None of you, I think, had this in your minds. That's why when I saw the plans, I thought, I'm pretty sure, since I didn't have that in my head, that none of the commissioners had it in their heads. That's why I reached out to you, because I was like, my recollection of this is this one thing, and I think that this is a completely different project than what everybody thought it was. And that is the danger. And typically that doesn't happen, that's never happened to me, where it's just like a complete.
See, I thought, because when I read this, I wasn't here in May.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at this today, I said, well, I mean, they went and approved a heck of a lot already in May, so it's not much left.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah.
And I guess there's no way legally to do this, but I would love to be able to lay out to our city, here are the kinds of things that have been approved, and here are the kind of things that haven't been approved. I mean, you know, if you had come to me with the wood box, if it had been eligible for if you and I were just talking,
mm-hmm.
if I had resigned at the end, and then I could have talked to you about it, because I'm not allowed to talk about it. But if I were allowed to talk to you about it, I would have said, we've never approved anything like that, ever. So I don't think you're going
to
get...
I try to do that.
Do you?
When I meet with applicants, and I think that... Because the way that I say that to people is, I don't want you to waste your money.
Right.
You don't want to waste your time or your money. And I can tell you, I had that with one of our citizens this past year. I said, I'm just leveling with you. Cause in his case, he needed a survey. So on top of everything else, and surveys are not cheap anymore.
Right.
That's a huge investment. And I said, I'm just going to tell you, if you're looking at having to get a survey, from what I know, and I painted pictures, this is the variance that's happened since I've been here. This is a variance. They all ended this way. I can't tell you what to do. But out of respect for you, and then just trying to look out for you in a way, I don't want you to waste your money. And that's a fine line that I have to walk, and it's a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, so I try to be a good, in all things I do, I try to be a good person and do what I would want somebody to do for me. That's the way I try to approach it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want people to waste money.
I don't.
You're doing what you can do legally to try to keep that from happening.
Correct. I don't want the, and so I can at least tell them, historically speaking, I think that this is less advantageous ask.
I'm totally comfortable with it. You're going to be able to convey to the applicants what Dan said. I'm seriously.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah.
Currently. I mean, there have been things that made it to my desk that did not make it here because of that.
Yeah.
But still, it's their decision.
It's their decision. And I have to leave it up to them. And it's hard because everybody's different. And their level of trust of me and how well they know me is all over the map, and so.
Yeah, but it's also much easier for us to say that we can't approve this because we don't have a good, clear enough picture. I would feel much more comfortable saying that to someone whom I know has been forewarned that, hey, you need to have some detail when you show up.
And I think, in fact, sometimes you guys have done that. Like, we need you to go back and.
Well, there was one that did not have the scale proper, and I said, I can't vote on this.
I think that was Tim.
Yeah.
I think it was. And so we went back. That was a multiple meeting variance request, too. And there was a lot of this back and forth, which is totally what I think was different in this case is none of us even had it. We just didn't know to wonder, to even guess, to speculate or to suspect. And so that was different for me and for you guys.
But when the first one, I think, was 120 square feet addition, this one was over 1,000.
No, it's the same.
Oh, no, there's a square footage.
It's a plan. It's a land coverage is what we were all worried about the first time.
It was a footprint.
You're talking about the square
versus the house. So the footprint grew by 120 square feet, not the floor area of the home.
Right, the square foot is the house, went up 1,000 feet. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question, Dan?
Yeah.
Just curious. So what you're saying, I want to better understand in case anyone asks me from around town. So if you're building something, if someone lives in a conforming house, they don't need a variance for additional conforming structure on a conforming house.
That's correct.
Is that right? But the fact that ours is a non-conforming to begin with, you need the whole big picture. Even, in other words, even though we were within what we understood the height regulations are, you might want to say, no, it's got to be lower than that.
It's just like what Dan said, because if it's already non-conforming, then adding a vertical element on a non-conforming house could have a big impact.
Right.
And they're trying to mitigate the impact of that non-conformity on the community. That's their job. That's the job.
It's too close to the lake, not too high, but that doesn't matter. It's the fact that it has an issue.
So this wasn't your situation, but imagine a house that got built 30 feet from the road. Okay, now that's non-conforming because it's 65 feet, right, is required setback on the front.
Yeah.
So but it got built 30 years ago, 30 feet from, right? It's a non-conforming structure. Now, they want to add something to the side of the house, right, but it's back and it's still within the sidelines. They need a variance from us, right? But if they told us it was going to go up 35 feet, for a house that's already only 30 feet from the road, we would say no.
Yeah, that's a huge impact.
That's what we did have.
Because our house is 40 feet, was within 20 feet of the lake, really.
Right.
So we made darn sure that vertical part was 40 feet back from the lake.
No, I know.
So that scenario you're talking about, the house built at 30 feet from the street, you wouldn't allow anything that's less than 65 feet from the street going up.
Right.
Which would probably not work, but...
Right.
In reality, is that
saying you might not allow a normal height? Because,
right. Exactly.
Even within regulation, because the houses are too close to the road.
Yes.
Right.
And ours is too close to the lake, so in other words, our little extra room could.
Well, not only. Let me just put it another way. Not only is it too close to the lake, but it's over on building coverage, and building coverage is a massing regulation. Well, the massing of your house got a lot bigger. By adding that much house to it.
Right.
It is, in my mind, a bigger nonconformity because you grew the size of the house that's already too big for the lot that it's on.
Even though the pervious issue...
It's not... It's So there's two different rules. There's an impervious standard, and then there's a building coverage standard that is meant to prevent McMansions. And in around here, with our small lake lots, it's a thing.
I got you.
And so
that was, we just said, made it really clear.
That made it clear.
So
the McMansion.
Yeah, I know. I see what you're saying. So regardless of the set rules that are out there, once the house is in that category, everything was out the window. We got to discuss all details.
That's right.
Okay.
I tell people whose homes are conforming, and they go, hey, we're thinking about doing this. It'll make the house non-conforming. And I always go, think about this. Because once you make your house non-conforming, you have to get a variance to spit off your back deck. And you may not want that. So think twice before, if you can do what you want to do without making your conforming structure non-conforming. So you don't have to come and do this.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, end of the discussion session. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.